Lord, we have read and heard from the Gospels this morning the accounts of the foretelling of Christ's birth, his conception, from two different Gospel writers, from two different perspectives, Lord, but yet with the same message. Lord, we come this day in the anticipation and the hope of celebrating Christ's birth once again. But yet, Lord, we're still not quite there. Christmas Day has not come. So we're still in the preparation phase. Lord, this day we just pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, especially in these days of preparation of Advent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Songwriters Richard Avery and Donald Marsh composed a song that asked the following questions. Mary, Mary, what you gonna name that baby? What you gonna call that holy baby? The angel had told Mary and Joseph, you will name your baby Jesus. By the time a baby is born, parents very often have chosen a name, or perhaps two names, one for a boy and one for a girl. Sometimes a child is named for a beloved relative. For others, names come from what is common or popular in society. Sometimes parents feel obligated or forced to call their child by a particular name out of a sense of duty. And sometimes parents will keep a name in the back of their minds until just the right child is born for that name. In my family, my parents selected a name for a boy and for a girl when they were expecting their first child, which was a girl. As their next two children were born, they were also girls, by chance, but my parents held on to that boy's name. And finally, after 16 years and three daughters, that male name was able to be bestowed upon a son. My sisters and I sometimes joked that any one of us would have been named Alan if we had only been a boy. But that was conferred on the youngest child in our family. Giving one's child a name is one of the most enduring things a parent does for his or her offspring. And I've read and heard recent recommendations by sociologists to, when you're naming a child, to not only think of that little bundle of joy in your arms, but think of the name when they go to school and when they're an adult or when they're serving in the military. Is that name still going to seem appropriate for them? Because some names that we hear today that are popular, we just say, where did that come from? We just wonder what happened to that. But for some parents, it takes hours of studying long lists of potential names and or weeks of discussion before the birth, and sometimes it's even days after the birth before a name is chosen. They want to see the child before bestowing the name upon that child. For others, it is quite a simple task, almost like someone offers them some inside information or orders a particular name. For these parents, there is no discussing or rehashing lists of names. Somehow they are certain right away what the child's name should be. That is the way it was with Jesus. The Bible tells us that an angel appeared to both Mary and Joseph separately and said, you will name him Jesus. As a sidelight, I was looking this morning, a relative of Jesus, his name was named John, became known as John the Baptist, had a similar situation going on, that his parents, Zachariah and Elizabeth, were very old, well past childbearing age, and they did not have any children. And Zachariah was a high priest, and while he was in the temple doing his duty, an angel came to him and said, guess what, Zachariah? You and Elizabeth are going to become parents. It's interesting, Zachariah questioned, how can that be? You know, we're beyond that. And the angel said, because of your questioning and because of your doubts, you're not going to be able to speak. And Zechariah became dumb and was not able to speak when he left the Holy of Holies that day. But it's interesting, In Luke's gospel that Michael read a few moments ago, Mary asked the same question, but it wasn't with so much, it was more like out of awe, more than really doubting, how can this be? It can never happen. Where Zacharias was, you got to be crazy. This is not going to happen. And so for that, he was limited in his abilities. But it wasn't until after the baby John was born, and it came time for his circumcision, that he was taken to the temple for the circumcision. And the religious leaders were prepared to name him Zachariah after his father. And Elizabeth speaks up and says, no, his name will be John. Because the angel had told Zachariah, that's what you're going to name this baby. You're going to name him John. And the religious leaders are saying, where'd that name come from? That's not in your family. So then they questioned Zachariah, still not able to speak. And Zachariah asked for something that he could write on or motion with. And he said, the son's name is John. And that became his name, was John. Names were so important in the Bible. They were not a mere label of identification. They had meaning behind them. And so Jesus had meaning. John had meaning, intention. And the angel told the parents exactly what they were going to name their child. Easy. They didn't have to go through the list of names and guess what they were going to name the child. They were told, this is what you're going to name your child. In the Bible, names are an expression of the essential nature of the one who holds that name. A person's name revealed his or her character. And therefore, we would probably expect a messenger of God to give an amazing or an uncommon name for such an extraordinary child who was to be born of Mary. We think it'd be some wonderful, unique name. When the prophet Isaiah had a son, he reported that the Lord had said to him, call his name Mahal Shalabhazaz. That's a kind of name that raises questions and must be quite a burden to carry through life, even back then when they didn't have all the forms that we have today to fill out. And think of the problems that hymn writers would have had if Mary and Joseph had been given that name for Jesus. Wouldn't rhyme very well. Jesus was, in fact, a very common name among the Jewish people, although not exactly as we have it now. Jesus is derived from the Latin spelling of the Greek Jesus, which was in turn a modification of the Hebrew Joshua. Without going into a lengthy linguistic study, when Jesus went to Hebrew school, he would have been called Joshua. And there would have been many other boys with the same name in his class. In later life, to distinguish this Jesus from other, or Joshua, from the numerous others, he was often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus, son of Joseph, or the Galilean, or the prophet. The Jewish historian Josephus mentions 19 different men named Jesus in his Jewish history. Why would God want his son to be given such a common name? I believe it was another way of demonstrating that Jesus was to be truly one of us, sharing in all the joys and sorrows that we know, subject to the same dangers, feeling the heat and the cold, being hungry and thirsty, laughing and weeping. So the baby received the familiar name Joshua, just as the baby of Elizabeth, Mary's relative, who was born 6 months earlier, was given that common name of John. Names are extremely important, but it's not the name that's given that determines the person each of us is going to become. Even people who are saddled with absurd or meaningless names can live them down and even make them lovely for those who know them. I remember hearing about an infant baptism in Scotland where a little child received the name Pindana, for that was what the father said when asked, what is the Christian name of this child? Afterward, the father complained bitterly to the minister, and he said, "You told me you might not remember the name, so I wrote it and pinned it on her. And that's what I said when you asked me. It's pinned on her." Hearing wasn't real good that morning. What is in a name? I trust that little Pindana grew up to be a loving and gracious woman. Yet there was something in the name given to Mary's child, and our scripture lessons tell us what it was. The name Joshua means in Hebrew, "The Lord will save." So from the moment of his birth, the son of Mary was called Savior or Deliverer. And thus we read from Matthew's gospel that you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And from that day until now, the name Jesus has been lifted high above all other names on earth. And in this season of Advent, when we prepare to celebrate our Savior's birth, we attempt to reach out to others in tangible ways and make their days a little brighter. The brightest message that we can offer is the name of Jesus. For as Christian mass marketers have copywritten, Jesus is the reason for this season. The name of Jesus has persisted across the centuries and around the globe. The name given to a little Jewish boy in a stable in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago has become a name to remember, not only because of his birth, but more importantly, because of his death. His death on a cross for each one of us. As the grown-up man, Jesus observed the Jewish festivals, often with his closest followers and friends. And as he was celebrating the Passover for what he knew would be their last meal together, he made a rather simple request. "When you eat and drink of these elements, remember me." Through the generations, Jesus' followers have remembered him, all that he did, all that he taught, and most especially, the selfless act he performed so that we have an opportunity for eternal life. People have remembered the name of Jesus, and it's probably safe to say that more men, women, and children know that name today than ever before. However it is pronounced, Jesus, 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 Yesu, is an instant bond between those who love him. A good part of our attempt to live as Christians would be described as remembering the name of Jesus. In times of joy, like the Christmas season, we remember him, and the joy has a deeper meaning. In times of gloom and despair, we remember Jesus, and he shares the burden and leads us through our difficulties. In times of strong temptation, we remember Jesus, and like the Apostle Paul, we hear a voice that says, "That is not the way you learned from Christ." In times of guilt, we remember Jesus and may hear the voice that said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." To paraphrase an old hymn, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. Around the world, there has been a revival of a prayer by a Russian monk. It's called the Jesus Prayer, and it's a simple repetition of the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's a good way to begin or end a day, or to seek strength at any moment we may happen to be. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those are the words that Joseph received from the angel. As we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birthday by singing the carols and hearing the story once more, we are not only traveling back to the manger, we are also preparing for that day when at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, we do celebrate your first advent and coming to the earth, and we do await your second coming, Christ. And Lord, in this in-between time, we pray that we may have hearts open and minds ready to receive words from you, words of encouragement and words of challenge, words that push us out to share the good news of Christ with others. Lord, in this time, as we celebrate Christ's birth and Christ's coming to earth, we are mindful and we thank you for our human parents and our human families. But we also thank you for the name of Jesus, that he is Savior of the world. We pray that we may live each day with that promise and that knowledge in our hearts, that it may direct all that we do and all that we say. We ask this in his name. Amen.